says in Matthew 6. So here is where he begins. He says, Matthew 6:19, he says, "Do not accumulate for yourselves treasures on earth." Now that is a powerful, difficult, hard to take statement that Jesus makes. But that is not my words. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, making this statement to us. Do not accumulate for yourselves treasures on earth. Now realize that when Jesus said this, he was in direct conflict with the Pharisees. Because we understand from in Luke 6:14 that the Pharisees loved money. And we see their reaction to Christ in many ways. And whenever it dealt with money, they had an issue with Christ. And the fact is, though, that sometimes we look down on the Pharisees, but I don't think that really we're in much different boat today. Not only is money, the pursuit of money, part of our American culture, it is very much part of the Christian popular culture out there as well. If you turn on the TV, you're going to hear a lot about how we all need to have a lot of money. That is going to be very prevalent. And so what Christ is saying back 2,000 years to the Pharisees is really not much different than the attitude that we experience today. It's in our very being. You know, we're taught in school, you need to get a good job because you want to make a lot of money, right? I mean, that's the motivation that we give our kids. Don't you want to make a lot of money? And so I think I've been at fault as a parent, and my guess is a lot of you are at fault for the same thing, is kind of drilling it in our kids' head that you want to make a lot of money, or by the things that we always talk about. We're always talking about what we can do that's going to take a lot of money. We want. So we drill it in our society. It's how we look at politics. You know, what president is going to improve the economy? Because we don't have enough money in America, do we? Of course not. We need more stuff, don't we? We need more. It's everywhere we look in our American culture, and it's in our Christian pop culture, but it is contrary, absolutely contrary, to the teaching of Jesus Christ. So Jesus goes on and describes some of the reasons why he makes this statement. He says, "Where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." So first of all, it's one of those things that if you accumulate treasures on earth, you're going to have troubles holding on to them. You know, when I was young, I grew up in California. And one of the things that I loved to do is go to the beach. We didn't live far from the beach. And whenever we went, we have to make a sandcastle. And you have to make a sandcastle fairly close to the water, don't you? Because it's wet sand. And so you get your buckets and it all sticks together. And I loved making sandcastles, and pretty exotic ones, you know. But one of the problems that I always ran into is that the water would always start to rise. I don't know, I never went on ebb tide. I always went on flow. And so you make your castle, and you could see those waves getting closer and closer. So in kind of a panic, we would build a trench around the castle so that the waves couldn't get to it, right? And then pretty soon it'd fill all the way up, and we figured out, okay, that's not really working. So then we'd build a dam around the castle along with the trench and try to make the water steer away. But, you know, eventually it really didn't work. And that is a lot of the way life is when it comes to us trying to accumulate treasures on earth, is that we find that really there's just so many things that take away that great investment that we all thought we had. I know my uncle and aunt, you know, they had saved up for years and years with the crash of the economy. It's all gone. How many people that lost it all? I mean, it's very difficult to hold on to what you think you have so secure in this world, is what Jesus is telling us. And then another thing is a problem is that even if you could hold on to it while you're alive, the fact is that we can't take it with us. And so Jesus' statement makes a lot of sense. It's really downright bad investment to spend our life and efforts and time on accumulating treasures in earth. So the Sermon on the Mount, the first point Jesus makes there in talking about treasures in heaven is don't pursue earthly treasures because they just won't last. So Jesus goes on then in the 20th verse and he says, but instead, accumulate for yourselves treasures in heaven. So it's not that you don't get treasures, but where you're investing. Investing them in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy there, and thieves don't break in and steal them. Because the fact is that our treasures that we build in heaven by the life that we live out of our love for God, those are the treasures that will last forever and ever. And so we can consider that an excellent investment. So what I just said, I don't think surprises anybody. I doubt whether it's the first time any of you heard what I just said. You've all heard it before, yada, 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 I know. Okay, that's fine. So let me ask you a question. If we've all heard it before, why do we squander our time and energy on treasures that don't last? Because I know that we all do. And this causes me to think of a situation where when I was 8 years old, so that's me when I was 8 years old, I was 8 years old, and you know, I was totally unmotivated about how my grades would affect my future when I was 8 years old. My parents, especially my dad, I can remember trying at great length to motivate me in school. We're not going to happen. You know, I enjoyed sports, and if you want to talk about sports, you know, Dad, we'll do that all day long. But trying to motivate me towards school and education, and you could explain all day long how when you grow up, after you graduate from high school, you're going to need good grades so that you can get a good job and support your family, all that, right past me. It just wasn't going to reach me. I think in my mind, I thought, you know, that's just so far away that it just doesn't even matter, you know? And what 8 year old, I know some 8 year old kids are different, but I think I was pretty normal, and most of us are like that when we're 8 years old. And the truth is that we all know how wrong that thinking was, don't we? We do. And the fact is that 10 years later, I graduate from high school, and now when I look back, I think, wow, from 8 to 18, at the time, seemed like forever, right? It was like forever. But the truth is, looking back now, that was nothing. That was nothing. In fact, I'm 52 now, and I've spent two-thirds of my life since I was 18. Two-thirds of my life has now been as an adult. So when I look back at that, when I was eight, I could not imagine how I would view it now. And isn't it the same thing if we would consider our eternal life? I mean, it's going to be sooner than we think that we'll be looking back on this life on earth. And are we going to look at it in the same way that we looked at our life when we were a kid and couldn't motivate ourselves because we just didn't think it would ever happen? The truth is, it is going to happen. And we are going to be looking back on this life on earth saying, idiot! We are idiot! We are idiot! It wasn't all about those earthly treasures. It just wasn't. They went away so quickly. So the second thing that Jesus is really trying to give us information on is pursue heavenly treasures that last forever, instead of those earthly ones that quickly vanish. So Jesus goes on. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Which causes me to ask this question. So where do you invest your time and money? Because the truth is, where you're investing your time and money is where your heart is going to be. If you're investing your time and money on a vacation, you're thinking about that vacation. That is, it's taking your heart. It's stealing your heart away from God, actually. If you're spending all of your time and effort and money on the house you're going to build, where's your heart? It's with the house, right? If you're all your time is on whatever day you're going to go to the races, then that's where your heart is. And so Christ is really letting us know another reason not to accumulate all these treasures on earth is because it's going to take your heart. You know, when I was, not actually that long ago, not when I was, I just said that. Actually, it's been 6 months ago, I'm going to guess. Actually, it's almost a year ago. So about a year ago, I started to have some conviction about a fish tank that I had. I had a fish tank that it was a saltwater tank, 220 gallons, plus another 180 gallons of sump pump and filtration and all this stuff. It was really cool. So it was like 400 gallons of water. I created this wave machine that crash into it so that the corals would all wiggle, you know, and it was really, really cool. And I really, really liked it. And some of the things I liked about this fish tank was some of the things that were in it. So this right here, isn't he cool? That's called a dog face puffer. Looks like a dog, doesn't it? And it has teeth even. And it's a puffer, so if you scare it, it puffs up. One time, he almost got sucked in the overflow, and he was only about this big, and he grew like that. He got scared. So he's really cool. Another thing that I had clownfish, which are really neat because they lay amongst the anemones, and they just feel like they're in love with these anemones. And it's just kind of fun just to watch the clownfish. All of a sudden, my mind is slipping from me. I had a spiny, whatever you call these things. What do you call that? There you go, spiny urchin. And one of the things I liked about it was this guy right here. It didn't look like an eyeball, like an eyeball is falling around. Actually, that's the butt. And I figured that out. One stuff kind of is coming out of it. It's not an eyeball. So I like this guy, and he'd crawl around, and he has all these little suction cups, believe it or not, on his stomach, and they move around with all these little suction cups. And food would come down, and those spines would actually use the spines like pieces of wood and get the food to come to him. Very, very cool. And I look at him at night with a flashlight, and it was really bright green colors and blue. It was really very interesting. And I also really enjoyed what we called brittle starfish. He would grab pieces of rock way out here, and then he would pass them all the way to the middle. That was just so fun to watch him pass all the way to the middle. So these were just some of the animals I had in this saltwater tank. And I tell you this because I want you to know how much I liked it. I really enjoy all of these little animals, and I had lots of them in this very large tank. And I started to be convicted that this fish tank was taking my time, money, and even my heart. But I didn't want to get rid of it. And I mentioned this to some kids that in my youth group, that our youth group here that was at my house for, we were having fire pits. And I said, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to get rid of this thing. One of the kids said, oh, but it's a nice tank. You shouldn't get rid of it. It's a nice tank. I said, I know it's a nice tank. That's the problem. That's the problem. I like it too much. You know, it's taken my heart. So I said, I think I'm going to get rid of it. But I knew it wasn't that easy. And so time went by, and, you know, I thought, no, I'm not going to get rid of it. I like it too much, you know. It's nice to have that. And then I thought, no, I should get rid of it. And I went back and forth for some time, and finally I told my wife, I said, the fact that I keep having this conviction tells me that I got to do something about it. I'm going to sell this fish tank. And I did. I finally sold this fish tank. And I'm not cured. I am not cured from my love of money. Believe me. I still want the vacation. I still want lots and lots of things. But this was the tip of the iceberg for me to address a conviction that I had. And I feel like it was something that I needed to do. And I know that I need to not have anything in this life that is such a treasure that it's taking my heart from fully putting it in God. So the third thing is your heart is with your treasure. So be careful what you treasure. And maybe even consider, should I have things that I'm treasuring and is taking my heart away from God. So Jesus goes on in the 24th verse. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. Jesus is saying it's like you cannot go this way and this way at the same time. And he's referring back to your heart, I believe. Your heart cannot fully pursue money and fully pursue God. You have to make a choice. And if you say, "I'm not going to get rid of my love for money, but I'm going to keep God," what you're going to do is you're going to sit here in the middle and really not go either. What do you do? It's like coming to if you came to this in the road, what would you do? If you wanted to go both ways, I guess you just sit there, huh? So you don't get really close to God and you don't get really close to money. You can't pursue both with your heart. Now, we all think we can. I know it. Because I've most of my life I have been convinced I can have it all. I can have the American. That's what we learn in our Christian pop culture is you can be rich with God and then give your money to the church. That's what everybody says. Yes, I'll get rich and then I'll give money to the church. Baloney. You know what you won't give? Your heart won't be there. That's why you won't give money to the church, because your heart won't be there. Jesus knows this. This is a command. He's telling us, don't do it. Don't accumulate treasures because you cannot. So you might not believe me, but I'm telling you, believe Jesus. He knows what he's talking about. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. So the fourth thing is, you cannot serve God and money. So then it makes, if you're like me, I sit back to myself and think, okay, so what does that mean? Am I supposed to give up everything? I mean, is that what Jesus is saying? Give up everything? And as I think about it, it makes me think that, you know, the fact that that is the question that I ask tells me in itself that I'm missing the whole point. Because, see, the whole point is that there's so much more than what we are living here. The point is that there really, really, really is a heaven. This is a faith issue. We just aren't getting it. The fact that we consider, okay, maybe I would rather have these things on earth and I'll get to them later. Can I? It means that we're not getting it. Jesus is indeed God incarnate telling us that there is a place for eternal treasure. And it is not here, it is in heaven. And if we can look to God and trust and believe in our heart that He really is. It says in Hebrews that we must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we believe that in our heart, all of this starts to make sense. It all makes sense that I don't want to spend my life on these treasures on earth, that this is chicken feed. This is what the earth can provide is chicken feed compared to what God in heaven has the ability to provide for us in heaven with Him. Our relationship with Him is so wonderful, but we can't get our eyes around it. Just like I couldn't when I was 8 years old. I could not fathom past graduation. I couldn't even fathom the sixth grade. You know, and we are in the same boat. We cannot fathom that eternity is where we will reside. That is our home. That is our future. That is what it's all about. And until we come to trust God and what He has promised for us, we are going to find ourselves pursuing these earthly treasures, thinking that happiness right now, the vacation, the house, whatever it is, the TV, technology, all this stuff. It's just going to evaporate, just like my sandcastles. I beg all of us, we need to pursue eternal treasures. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come to you humbly knowing that every one of us, Lord, we all have this trouble. This is so universal. I pray that we would not allow ourselves to just put it aside, to just ignore what you have so explicitly explained to us, Lord, that we wouldn't just set it aside because we're not open to hear, because we don't want to hear it. We want to close our ears and say, no, I don't want to hear it. I want to hear it. I just want to do what I want to do. Lord, help us to humbly cry out to you, to soften our hearts so that we are willing to listen to you and to trust you and to let go of our affections for these things on earth and instead to draw our affection towards you, to seek you with all of our hearts and to invest our time and our money on eternal things, Lord. And if you're here today and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ right now, this is the time. Pray with me right now that you would accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ for your sins. He came and he died on the cross for all of us so that we could live with him forever and ever and have treasures in heaven. And if you want that today, just pray with me. Dear Lord, I believe that you are God, that you created us, and that you sent your Son to die for me. And I want right now to trust you, Lord. And that's all it takes, is to believe in Jesus Christ. And I just pray, Lord, that again, all of us would seek to trust you, to let go of these earthly things, and to follow you with all of our heart. We ask this in your name. Amen.